The windows are favored and open. The scenes are falling to light with joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus makes everything right, oh, I gave me my own time to come. From heaven this morning, and that's why I'm happy. Oh, I'm so happy. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings of tonight. The joy, joy, joy in my heart. Since Jesus takes everything right, I gave him my own time. Aren't you happy tonight? And that's why I'm happy. Oh, that's why we happy. And that's why we happy tonight. Amen. We'll sing a chorus and we'll ask the sisters to come pray for us. Amen. Everyone has their different way of expressing their happiness. Some express without showing their teeth. Some express like in anger, but they are happy. I believe God made them that way. Amen. When they were born, maybe they were born angry. Amen. Hallelujah. We are happy for the Lord this morning. Let's sing while the sisters come. Amen. Come, sisters. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.
Amen. I'll like to give a short thanksgiving. Since I think June this month, I applied for my SUSE grant, and ever since it's been them asking me for documents, especially for evidence of residence in the past 3 years out of five, and another letter from the Minister of Justice. It's been going on ever since from June. So just, I think 2 weeks ago, I sent them the last documents that I had, because then every time I have to get a document from Italy, I have to translate it. So I sent them the last document I had. What they wanted, I couldn't give them. So I gave them what I had. So then after 3 days, they called me and they told me I still needed to hand in that document, and I explained to them that I don't have what they want. So then he said, okay, I should give him just a few minutes. Then he goes and comes back to me, and he was like, don't worry about any documents anymore, I'll just go on and Hallelujah. Assess you to the next level. And the other letter that was from the deputy minister of justice, I've been sending that letter, and they were saying it wasn't that they wanted, but then this time they were like, yeah, it's okay, that's what we want. So I just want to thank God for his goodness. He's been good, he's been kind, and he's been great to me, and I thank him for everything. I just like to sing to the glory of God. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. You are the potter, I am the clay. Make me and mold me, this is what I pray. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, may I be like you. Jesus, oh Jesus, hazme como sé, todo yo como tú. Change my heart, oh God, make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God, like you.
Hallelujah. Amen. I wish we were listening spiritually. It was a good song. Amen. If God could only change our hearts. Let's sing one song, and then we'll get into a song of worship. Well, change the order. Yakanaka vangeri, yakanaka, yakanaka, geriyashe. Yakanaka vangeri, yakanaka, yakanaka vangeriyashe. O chingurinda kuta kuti yakanaka, chingurinda kuta kuti yakanaka, chingurinda kuta kuti yakanaka. Is mine. Hallelujah. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. I'm an heir of salvation. Heir of salvation. Oh, I'm purchased of God. Born of His Spirit. Washed in it. This is my story. My story, this is my hallelujah. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my oh my wonderful song. Is it my Savior? Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, ring from above, echoes of mercy. This is my story. This is my story. This is my soul. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. Hallelujah.
perfect submission, rulings and reigns. I my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, trusting Him. This is my story. This is my story. Oh, my soul, praising my faith, yeah, all the day long. This is my story. Hallelujah, praising my Savior, all the day long. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship You, O Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Oh, let's give Him glory. We worship Him this morning. You are Alpha and Omega. We worship You. Lord, You are worthy, Lord, this morning to be praised. We give You glory, we give You all the glory. We worship, oh, we worship You, Lord. You are worthy. Oh, You are Alpha.
First of all, a thanksgiving. We thank God for healing our little Hadassah. She was unwell last week. Thank the Lord. Amen. For that. Please remember Sister Jivile in prayer. She's unwell today. She can't come. Let's remember her. Also, there's a prayer request from Brother Zilmanis, Lithuania. His father is not well. He's very sick with heart problems. So we want to put that before the Lord as well. And just want to greet our visitor, Brother Louis Poku. Is that you, brother? God bless you, brother, from Manchester. Welcome to the house of the Lord. God bless you, brother. Let's put this before the Lord, saints. Let's imagine if it was our Father and He had heart problems. Let's come before the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, thank You for access by grace. Thank You for faith that, Father, we know that You can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities, Lord, and
Thank you for mercy that, Father, one man can stand on behalf of another man. And, Father, can be led of Thee to make intercession. Father, and that the Spirit that's in a man can pray. Father, Your Spirit will answer the prayer that You've led a man to pray. Father, we thank You for that, Lord. We're thinking of our brother. Father, we think of his faithful service. Father, Lord, he's been with us several times, our brother, Lord, and he's been a blessing to us. And now, Father, he's wanting, Lord, to ask of Your people to bring petition on behalf, Lord, of his father. Lord, won't You upon this day? Father, just look down, we'd ask and pray. Father, You are the same. Father, You love to manifest Yourself. So manifest Yourself on behalf of this man, we'd pray. Father, we know him not, Lord, but we bring him before Thy throne. And we ask of Thee, Lord, that, Father, Your mercy would be extended unto him upon this day. Father, won't You pass by, Jesus, that he may just reach forth and touch the hem of Your garment upon this day. Father, won't You draw near unto him, that he may seek Thee while You may be found. Father, grant grace, we pray. Father, even our sister who's not well upon this day, we bring her up unto Thee. Touch her, Lord. Father, we ask, Lord, raise her up from the bed of sickness, Lord. Father, bring her back into fellowship with Your people. We'd ask, Father, glorify Thy name. Lord, we thank You for touching our little sister Adassa, Lord. Father, thank You, Lord, for that You've touched her and healed her, Lord. Now, Father, we're looking unto Thee for spiritual healing upon this day, for natural healing upon this day, that, Father, You would work Thy wonderful work once again. Father, may You bless our brother that's visiting us, Lord. And Father, bless each person in Your house upon this day. Father, we're looking unto Thee. Our expectation is unto Thee. Father, we desire communion with Thee. We thank You, Father, that You've gathered us, Lord, as Your people in this hour. Father, glorify Thy name. Bless Your people gathering to the north, south, east, and west. Wheresoever there would be people gathering in Your name, bless them upon this day. Bless Your bride. Father, touch Your people, we ask. Bless us now as You open up Your word. Father, we wanted to draw nigh unto You. Feed us with the bread of life. Instruct us, Lord. Overshadow us, Lord. And do something for us, Lord, that as we'd go from this place, we wouldn't be the same people that we are. But Father, we've come from the east and west. We've come from the north and the south. Father, to dine with the King and to feast as His guests. Father, we've come, Lord, to look to Thee. So help us now as we surrender ourselves to Thee. Father, be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Saints, amen. Let's open our Bible, saints. We'll read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's read just the first verse from there. And then Ephesians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians 14:1. This is the Apostle Paul exhorting us. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. Amen. So he's telling us something then. Friends, it's something which people don't so much do these days. And I think it's a great mistake, because if the Bible says desire spiritual gifts, I would say that we should say amen to that. That we would really desire spiritual gifts. Ephesians 4. Let's look at a few of these gifts before we get on to the other ones. We know these ones well. Verse 8. Speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty conqueror. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Amen. So these gifts have to have a purpose. Because if he's going to go to the cross, if he's going to conquer the enemy, if he's going to open the gates, if he's going to open the way into the veil, if he's going to prevail and pour out his blessings upon his church, there's a reason for it. And he gives gifts unto men. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So saints, as long as we're not yet perfected, we need gifts. Because the gifts were given for the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. So as long as there's still work for the ministry to do, as long as there's still ministration that needs to be done within the body of Christ, we need gifts. And for the edifying, the strengthening and the building up of the body of Christ, as long as there's that need, Christ is going to supply that need. So we do thank the Lord for His word. You may sit and be seated, saints. Just to really thank the saints for a wonderful time yesterday. I'm sure some people You fear after days yesterday when people eat so much, how they will be the next day in the house of the Lord. But people sure left yesterday a lot heavier than they came, which is always a good indication that a good time was had by all. So we thank the Lord for everything that was done, for the songs that were sung. Thank you for the presents. I'm wearing one of them today. Really do appreciate the gifts. The young children, what they sang, the fellowship that you had, it was a wonderful time. We do really appreciate it. It was a fine, fine time. And may the Lord be glorified in the midst of His people is our desire. Let's look at this thought when Paul is exhorting us to desire spiritual gifts. If you go and read the original, it actually says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. No, but the problem with us, whenever we think of gifts, especially us who came through Pentecost, the moment we speak about gifts, people think about tongues and interpretation. I mean, it's just amazing. The first thing people think about when you think about gifts is that. And then the second thing which we think as message believers is all of the false things that we saw when we were in Pentecost. No, we saw all the false gifts and we saw false prophecies and we saw things. But it's amazing that many times we fail to remember the genuine gifts. I remember when I first became a believer in Pentecost and someone prophesied over my life in a cell group and it came to pass exactly. That was my first ever experience with somebody who had a gift of prophecy. And exactly what was prophesied was exactly the truth. You know, the prophet as well, you know, when he went to Mishawaka, we're speaking about the supernatural books and those kind of things on Wednesday. When he went to Mishawaka, he saw something genuine and he saw something false. And the Spirit of God had to really bring him back into a balance, because when he saw that man who had interpreted tongues and that man was living with someone who wasn't his wife, the prophet says, I thought I'd come among angels, but then now I thought maybe these are devils. You see, and then the Lord had to speak to him when he went out and he prayed in Green's Mill by his cave and had to correct him on those things and show him that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. And the prophet says, and the real thing that helped him was 1946, I think, when he went to Brother Jack Moore's tabernacle and he was walking up to the front, going to go and minister. And then someone spoke in tongues and someone interpreted and says, the man that's walking up the aisle has been given a gift. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so is he sent to forerun the second coming. And the prophet says he stopped dead in his tracks. And he had to ask and say to the man, you know, do you two people know each other? And the man says, no, I don't know this man. And the man says, do you know me? The prophet says, do you know me? And the man says, I don't know you. I never heard of you until today. The people that I'm working with wanted to come up to the meeting today and they invited me to come. And then the prophet says, the Lord wanted to help me because I was getting too critical. And I think saying sometimes in the message, some people are going too extreme on these things. You know, we throw away the baby with the bath water, but there's the right balance in things. Because if Christ gives gifts to His church, there's a reason that He gives gifts. There's a purpose for the gifts. You know, He doesn't give these things for nothing. The prophet, you know, Brian Max was speaking about His angel shall go before, yeah? So you find Eliezer as well, when the angel went before, he was also given gifts. He was given gifts to give to the bride. We know that. Eliezer went laden down with gifts. And the prophet says that. He says, not only that, but he loaded the whole train of camels with good gifts for the bride. He says, oh, I feel religious right now. Oh, how I love Jesus. He loaded the camels full of good gifts to give to the bride. And he never told her they were for another generation or another day, but they were for the bride. And every true servant of God that sent out has got a whole book full of divine promises that he can offer to the bride. If you really go and look at the gifts and manifestations of the Spirit promised in the New Testament, there's at least 31 of them. There's 31. It's not only the 9 spiritual gifts, the 5 ministerial offices, that's 14. But you'll find administrations, helps, gifts of hospitality. There's so many different gifts that you can see that are in the body of Christ. And friends, if Christ died in order for us to have certain things, there's a reason that He gave us those things. And sometimes if we would really see the reason and what His motive and objective is in giving us certain things, understanding why things have been given, it would help us maybe to expect certain things and also to be able to handle certain things in a better way. The prophet in the message take on the whole armor of God. Speaking of the armor of God, he says, when nations here not long ago began to provide helmets for the protection of their army, they knew they were going to have to use it. You know, so when something's put as part of the armor, they don't give you the armor for nothing. But he says, they knew there'd be shrapnel flying. So they'd have to use it. He says, oh, it may not have seemed so necessary in training. Now, when everything's going well and you just, you're gathering in church like this and different things, you may not know why you need a gift of healing in the body of Christ. But let the crisis come. Now, let cancer strike your relative or your loved one or something. You will really appreciate why God has put certain things in the body. You see, but sometimes when things, we say, we don't need these things. You know, the young man doesn't see the need for his helmet. He says, this thing's hot, this thing's heavy, but let him get in the battlefront, friends. And the bullets are flying and the rocks are being blown from the, you know, from the shells that are landing around and about. And that young man's going to appreciate the armor that he's been given because he's going to see the need for the armor at that time. So the prophet says, oh, brother, but once on the battlefield, you have to have it. He says, when they're training soldiers, he says, I think it's a 90-pound pack they put on the little rookie's back, you know, the new recruit. They put this big pack on his back while they're training him. Yeah, and he thinks, but these guys are just trying to give me a hard time. He says, and he just like nearly sweats himself to death in training. He doesn't think it's necessary, but just wait till the time comes. He will need everything that's in the pack. And he will be glad that he had it. He's got to have it, and he'll be glad that he was trained to use it. And friends, everything that Christ has given us is going to be necessary for us to use. And many times when we're not using the things that he's given to us, that he purchased for us, that's where we're lacking. That's when we'll find certain troubles and certain problems, and we're not doing so well in certain areas of life or certain places in our churches, because we're not making full use of all that Christ died for us to have. Because he died to give us these things for a purpose. So the prophet says, now God, knowing that in this last days there will come intellectual giants, all kinds of the enemy with reasoning powers, to try to prove to the church that the days of miracles is past and all of this. The prophet says, God packed in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with what? Speaking with tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecies, gifts, all kind of things. So inside of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is every one of these gifts and manifestations, which can be used at certain times when they need it. They can manifest at a certain time in a certain person, maybe never manifest again. But there's a certain time that God needs to minister something to the body. There's a need inside of the body. And Christ, when he died and he led captivity captive, he conquered every enemy and he met every need. But he ministers to the body through the body. And it's through gifts inside of the body. And that's what he's saying here, the prophet. He says, God equips his soldiers exactly with what it takes. Exactly what it takes. So everything, nothing was put there, friends. And especially living in the age where it's, I will restore, saith the Lord. How can the Lord put certain things in the church in the beginning? And then he says, I will restore. And we say, he's not going to restore those things. I believe in a full restoration. That if he's going to restore, he's going to restore everything. And if you go back and look in the beginning what the church had, and the prophet says, and we look now and we see the things we don't have, that shows the things that he still needs to restore. Amen. But friends, unless we have an expectation for those things, and unless we understand what these things are given for, you know, unless we have an earnest desire and the right motive and objective, we're going to have certain areas where the enemy is going to give us quite a hard time. Yet God maybe has already made a provision to meet the enemy on that particular aspect of the battlefield. That's the way that it is with these things. The prophet says, he says, God equips his soldiers. He says, they might say, just learn psychology. That won't work. No, sir. That's no good. We have to have power of the Holy Ghost coming upon a man with all the 9 spiritual gifts dwelling in him. So you are subject to any one of those gifts. If you are in the body, if you're in the body of Christ, he can use you in any way that the need sees fit. He doesn't use his gifts just for nothing. He says, you stay there until God equips you with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then everything you've got need of in this world or the world to come lives right in you. And the all-wise God knew how to equip his army. He equipped him, equipped it with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what he sent for the last days. And friends, you see that. You know, I'm in touch many times with different people, and it's very sad around the world. People maybe that you're with in the days of your youth. And you see the way they've made shipwreck of their faith. You've seen the way the devil has so got them off course. You see the way the devil's got them all caught up in so many different things. And friends, sometimes you just wonder, it's such a pitiful thing. But if you go back and you examine it, it comes back to the foundation. Amen. You've got to have the right foundation. And the foundation of a believer is a spiritual foundation. It's never just a knowledge. It's never just a learning. You've got to have a spiritual foundation. And the prophet speaking of that. God has got to equip you for the battle. Otherwise, you'll sure be overcome in the midst of the battle. And you see that. When you see people make shipwreck of their faith. Maybe sometimes being a sincere person. But you'll just see that person never started quite right. That person never went deep enough. They never went far enough. They never got the equipment spiritually that they needed to take them through to the end. Because maybe in the beginning they didn't see the need of that armor. Just while you're in training, you won't know why do I need to do these kind of things? Why do I need to seek God for this kind of an experience? You'll regret it down the way. You will find out how necessary these things are in the battlefield. Because friends, we're fighting against an ever-present enemy. We're fighting against an enemy who doesn't sleep and he doesn't slumber. You're fighting against an enemy who hates you. He'll do everything he can to destroy you. He'll do everything that he can to ruin your life, to ruin your family, destroy your home, destroy your health, destroy your faith. Everything that he can to make shipwreck of your calling, to get you off course from what you were called to be and what you were called to do. And friends, we see it all around. But God, he knew that, and he gave the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Christ himself. He's the one that equips a person to overcome. If you see someone going through the storms of life, if you see someone going right the way through in this spiritual journey, I've said it before, it's a greater miracle than Moses being put in the basket and making it safely to Pharaoh's palace. Going through all the trials and going through the crocodiles and going through the waves and the wind. No, for somebody's soul to navigate safely all the way through to the end of this journey, that is a supernatural something, friends. That's not natural. You can never, ever rest in the natural because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Every day we're going to be in a spiritual warfare. And the more when you want it to stand for Christ, when you want it to be effective, when you want it to get off the chair and say, let me do something for the kingdom of God, expect the enemy to meet you face to face. Because he's going to do it, friends. Like we said about Brother Owen Jorgensen. As soon as he started writing the supernatural books, his wife backslid and went to the world. Did that stop him writing the books? No. And then you go back and he gives his testimony of even when he was in Pentecost, how somebody came to a meeting and he was at a house meeting and he says, I'd just been a Christian for a while and somebody came and said, if anybody desires the Holy Ghost, would come in the room here and we'll pray with you. And he says, I had testified to my brother and I'd brought him along there. And he says, and I felt quite embarrassed at first to say, but what happens if my brother sees me going in there? He says, I'll be admitting my spiritual need. He says, but no, then I thought my need is far greater than what people think about me. And he says, he went inside and he was prayed for. And he says, the Lord really came upon his life. And he says, although he had a manifestation, he spoke in tongues. He says, he never rested in that. But he says, that experience that he had, the thing which he knew there was something genuine, is that when the message came his way, the word, the spirit he had received brought him straight to the word. Yes. Recognized straight the word. And he went and found his place now in the body of Christ for his age. But that was the beginning. But imagine if he didn't have that spiritual armor. Imagine if he was just leaning upon his education. He's just leaning upon natural ability. Leaning upon good intentions. Now when the enemy came in like a flood like that, he wasn't going to have the spiritual equipment. And friends, that's why it's so important as a young believer that you seek Him until you find Him. That's the most important thing. Until you break through and you find your way to the mercy seat yourself. Until you get yourself into heavenly places in Christ Jesus yourself. And that you meet Him until you know Him. Because once you know Him, and you know how to find Him the first time, you know how to find Him the second time and the third. And that's the important thing. When we were in Czech Republic, Brother Bogdan was saying that. He said, "Brother," he says, "the Lord really has done a wonderful work in the midst of our youth." And he says, "but before we really started focusing on the youth, and the Lord really visited our youth," he says, "we grew up with other young brothers and sisters who weren't part of this move of God that He's doing." He says, "and you can see it." He says, "they find brothers and sisters." He says, "they've got married in the message now. They've got children. But there's that something missing. There's that something which there's no spiritual momentum in their life. There's nothing which has got that something that it takes to achieve the purpose that you were called to achieve. Although they'll be good people. No, they'll be trying to do the best they can in the home and run their families well and stuff." But he said, "brother, you can tell the difference between the people that were born under that, the way things were, and what's happened in our church now." He says, "there's such a difference in the life of a believer." And friends, I believe that's the truth. I believe that. Now, everything about the Christian armor is spiritual. It's a spiritual armor. It's a spiritual armor because it's a spiritual warfare. And it's so very, very important to be clothed with this armor. And that's why the prophet so much speaks about these kind of things. Listen to what he says in the church ages. When he preached the Smyrnaean church age, 1960. He says, "in each local church, there's 9 spiritual gifts that comes among the people. Knowledge, wisdom, gifts of healing, working of miracles, tongues, interpretation. These things go in every local body. And every person in the church has an individual ministry." That's the most exciting thing, friends. Christ called every single one of us to a spiritual ministry. These are spiritual gifts that only can operate in a spiritual way. These aren't natural things. He says, "and that individual ministry goes together with the rest of the ministry to edify the body of Jesus Christ." And that is the purpose that Christ ascended on high and gave gifts unto men. Is to build up the body of Christ. Every gift is to edify the body. Every gift is to minister to the needs in the body. No gift is called that a person may glorify themselves. I mean, that's a person who's totally out of line. But every single gift that Christ gives to the church is for the good of the body. Is for the work of the ministry. Is to minister to the people. And that's exactly what Paul goes to teach us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. When he says, let's go and have a look in 1 Corinthians 14 and just see how he explains these things. Look what he says in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, Paul is such a great man on balance. Because in chapter 12, he's gone and spoken about the spiritual gifts. And he's spoken about, you know, how, you know, in the Corinthians, he corrects them and different things. Then he speaks of the spiritual gifts. Then in chapter 13, he says, but I'll show you a more excellent way. And he speaks of agape love. And he says, though I have prophecy, though I can pray for the sick, though I can move mountains, if I don't have love, these things profit me nothing. But then he comes back after that because he knows that people are going to say, look, let's just stay with agape love. We don't need all of these other things. He comes back in chapter 14 and he balances in verse 1. He says, follow after charity. So the first thing we should be seeking is agape love. Because these gifts, like the prophet says, without agape love, they do more damage than good. And that's what's put a lot of people off. Because we've seen gifts operated without love. That doesn't mean it wasn't a genuine gift. Balaam had a genuine gift. But he didn't have agape love. Lucifer had a genuine gift. Genuine anointing. But he didn't operate it with agape love. He used his gift to divide the bride. He used his gift to bring a division in the hosts of heaven. And we've seen that right throughout the bride, haven't we? People rise up with great ministries, great manifestations. But what do they use it for? To bring a division in the bride. And when they minister, now there's division wherever they go. Friends, that's not the way that it's supposed to be. Not to say the man doesn't have a gift. Not to say someone's not anointed. But Paul says, firstly, follow after charity. That's the very first thing. Follow after charity. And desire spiritual gifts. So we can't stop in the middle of the sentence, friends. If Paul is exhorting us, follow after charity. Yes, do that. And desire spiritual gifts. Let's desire spiritual gifts. As long as we're following after charity, let's desire spiritual gifts. And then he balances. And then he says, but rather that you may prophesy. Because prophecy is the most effective gift in edifying the body. Prophecy, the real prophecy. There's many ways prophecy can manifest. But prophecy for someone to speak under the Spirit. To speak things that only could be known supernaturally. There's nothing that can edify the body more than that. I will just give the example, Elizabeth and Mary. They both were filled with the Spirit and they prophesied. And see how their gifts work together. Both of them speaking the same thing. Both of them ministering one to another. And it edified them. It strengthened them. It encouraged them at that time to continue on in their calling. So Paul is giving us a good balance here. But then he says in verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So you can see when you read these chapters, Paul has one theme in mind. He says everything that Christ gives to you must be used to build up the church. Everything that you have isn't to build yourself up. That's why it says if you speak in tongues, he says you're edifying yourself. Therefore, if there's no one to interpret, do that by yourself. But don't come into the house of God and speak in tongues and edify yourself, yet it's not edifying the body. He says, let these gifts be used to edify the body, to strengthen the body, to build up the body of Christ. And friends, every single one of us, the prophet says, has a ministry. Every single one of us, if you have been born into the kingdom, baptized into the body, we subject to the influence of the Spirit. And the Spirit wants to work in different ways, depending on how the body needs to be edified at that time. Somebody needs to be built up in this. Somebody needs to be built up in that. So the Spirit wants to manifest Himself because He wants to build up the body. That's how the prophet says, these gifts are love gifts. That Christ love gifts to the church. Because He so loves us, He wants to give us everything that we need to be effective. He wants to give us everything that we need to prevail and overcome. He wants to give us everything that we need so that we can come to maturity. So that we can come to the fullness of what we should be as believers in this age. And He's given diversities of ministries. He's given diversities of operations of the same Spirit to work in manifold ways. The Bible says we are stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we've been given a stewardship. He's given us His grace that manifests in manifold ways, different ways. But all of this is a stewardship that's been given to us. And the stewardship, if you want to ask ourselves, what is He going to say to us at the end of the journey? Did you use your gift to edify the body? That's it. Did you use your gift, your access to the spiritual realm, your access to the throne of grace? Whatever He's ministered into your experience, did you use it to build up the body? Because that's the whole purpose these things were given for. We don't have to use these things for that. Moses used the same gift that he had used before to bring the plagues on Egypt and to do the different things. He used it to glorify himself. He smote the rock twice. Must we bring you water out of the rock? The water still came out. The gift still operated. But God called him aside and said, you've glorified yourself. You're not going to go into the promised land. You know, so you've got to be careful, the prophet says, with what we do in these things. And that's why Paul says, first, follow after charity. Seek charity first. Seek an atmosphere, the prophet says, around you that's godly. That your desire is the right desire. That your motive is the right motive. And then desire spiritual gifts. That's the right way. And especially that you may prophesy. I think he says it again in verse 12. He says, Even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. You see, his whole theme, you go and read this. Paul knows what he's doing. He's not discouraging them from the gifts, but they're misusing the gifts. People are coming and wanting to be seen of people to prove I'm more spiritual than you. Remember the threefold temptation of Jesus when Satan said, cast yourself down. The prophet says, Satan wanted to make him a show off so that he would show himself before the people. Look what I can do. Look what the angels have done on my behalf. That would have been falling into the temptation of the enemy to use his gift, to use what he had been divinely ministered to, instead of using it for the people, instead of using it to edify the body, said you're using it for yourself to show off. And Paul comes and wants to correct the use of those gifts. And by doing that, he says, that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Ah, friends, would that not be a wonderful thing? If every single person here, when you'd get up in the morning and you'd lay yourself upon the altar, that was your motive and objective to say, Lord, please, in all that you do, in all that you minister to me, in all the resources that you give to me, I want to use this the right way. I want to use this to build up, to strengthen the house of God, to build up the body of Christ. I want to use this for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. That's what Paul is exhorting the people to do, because friends, we've all seen the misuse of gifts. We've all seen the damage. The prophet says, a gift incorrectly used can do more good, more harm than good. It was better that that gift hadn't been operated, because it can do more harm than good. It can do so much damage, and we know that. That's how the prophet says we all have a ministry. Every single one of us. Then he goes on to say, he says, spiritual gifts are the order of the day. That's what he says in church order. But like I say, we straight away start to think just of tongues and interpretation of tongues. But there's a lot of different gifts. There's a lot of different gifts. If I can find the quote here, the prophet actually goes on to say here. He says, then every person has an individual ministry. I'm just trying to find one quote here. But the prophet actually goes on to say here. Now, we believe, it's in COD, Church Order, 1958. He says, we believe that spiritual gifts among the believers is the order of the day. We cannot believe a man can preach under inspiration and be an inspired teacher and then deny the gift of healing or the gift of prophecy or speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, or any of these other gifts. We can't say when Christ arose, yeah? He ascended on high, he gave gifts unto men. He gave only the five ministerial gifts, the fivefold ministry. Yeah. We know we need the fivefold ministry. We're going to need the fivefold ministry right to the end of the journey. Right to the end. Because the body isn't fully developed yet. The body isn't perfected yet. The body hasn't come to the fullness of what it should be yet. And that's why he puts those gifts. He puts prophets and evangelists and teachers and pastors and apostles in the body for the ministration of the Spirit. And what does he do it for? For the building up of the body. For the perfecting of the saints. So if you're going to look at it that way, friends, if people are going to say, we don't need this and we don't need that and we don't need the other, just ask yourself, is the body perfected yet? Is the body perfect yet? It's not yet perfect. Potentially the body of Christ is perfect because that which is perfect has come. The prophet says we have the perfect interpretation of the written word, yes? With vindication, we have that. But for that, the Logos himself, the full revelation of the word, to be made flesh in us. Yes, potentially everything's been restored to the church. Everything that we need has been revealed, but we need ministry so that that word becomes flesh. Amen. So that that word manifests itself in us. And when we look around in our own lives, we look in the church, we look in the bride, we haven't yet come to full manifestation. We haven't come to full maturity and perfection yet. And until then, we're going to need those gifts. Because that's why Christ gave those gifts. The fivefold ministry is for the perfection of the church. That we no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine blown this way and that. But growing up in him may come to maturity, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ.
So as long as the bride hasn't yet come to that, we've got to keep earnestly desiring these gifts. We want the Lord to raise up people here. We want evangelists to raise up here. Wouldn't you want someone to raise up here with a powerful gift of evangelism? It's going to help us a lot, friends, to do the work that we're called to do. Because there's lots of places around here we haven't evangelized yet. But someone with a real gift of evangelism and who has the right motive, the right objective, operating that gift in love to the edifying of the body, to the furtherance of the kingdom. That's a great blessing, friends. And we should be praying for that. Because Paul said, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. That's how we need it. Would you not want someone to raise up here with the gift of healing? Would that not help us tremendously, friends? Every person here struggling with sickness, or with people that you know with sickness, people say, we don't need the gifts. I need the gifts. I would love someone many times to come and pray for me when I'm not feeling well. Now, we do have Mark 16. We've seen it many times. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But a gift of healing is something beyond that. It's the same spirit, but it's a gift in a person that a person can believe beyond what a normal person can believe. A gift of miracles, a person will believe when they see someone coming with crossed eyes. They will believe this is going to change. And it's a supernatural faith that they've been given. It's not just a natural something. We've seen many healings by just laying hands on the sick. But friends, to have a gift of miracles. How can we say we don't need a gift of miracles? We're going to need a gift of miracles right to the end of the age, friends. How can we say we don't need a gift of healing? Friends, we rely on the doctor so much and all that. There's nothing wrong with that. But can you see when we don't have the full operation of these things, we have weaknesses in our armor. Can you not see we're not fully covered yet? Because when someone gets drastically ill, yeah, and we need a miracle to happen, sometimes it doesn't happen. Because you need gifts of miracles. We need the Spirit to move through someone in a miraculous way, to energize someone's faith until that person can believe for that absolute impossible thing to happen right there and then. Would it not be a blessing? So why don't we desire it? Because Christ died for us to have this in the body. This is the armor. This is the protection of the church. We need it, friends. We need it. And if we desire it, if our motive and objective is right, friends, He's already put these gifts in the body. He can move upon different people and manifest Himself. So we need these things just as much as we need teaching. We need evangelism. We need the apostles, the missionaries to go forth. Just as much as we need pastors. Just as much as we need all those offices. Friends, we need every part of the armor that He's put in His church. We need it. We may not think we need it in training when everything's going fine. But friends, when the real battle comes and Satan comes to shake with a certain something, that's when you're going to realize we need that piece of armor. We need that piece of divine equipment that Christ has ministered potentially into His church. But you would love to see that manifest itself. And that's why the prophet, he really, really kept a good balance when he spoke about Eliezer. Now, Eliezer's gifts were for what purpose? First, to vindicate that Eliezer was telling the truth. If Eliezer had have gone there all the way to Mesopotamia and gone and said, you know, look, I've come to take your daughter, yeah? You know, you've never seen me before. You don't know who I am. I'm coming from a far off country. You know, I somebody back home was praying and they say your daughter must come and marry his son. The parents would have had every right to doubt. But when he came with 10 camel loads, friends, and there were all manner of gifts and things, then they could see there was something backing Eliezer up. This man wasn't just coming in his own authority. They could see that the story that he was telling about his master and his riches and his son and how God had blessed his master and his son was going to fall heir to all of these things. They could see the vindication of it now. They could see this is nothing but the truth. Look at what's backing him up. All the riches of his master was backing him up. And that's the first thing that he needed it for. And then secondly, it was to prepare the bride. He put those things on Rebecca. He gave change of garments, all those things. So those things were taken to vindicate and then to minister into a condition so she was ready to meet Isaac. And that's why he came with those kind of things. In sign of this time, the prophet says, he also set in the church apostles and prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. All that for the perfecting of the body. Amen. And in this body, every local body, he gave 9 spiritual gifts. Wisdom, knowledge, and so forth. All to show his love towards the church. Our friends, is that not his love? When you're sick and Christ quickens someone to pray for you, and you heal, that's the love of God being manifest to you. That's God's love manifesting to you through the body. He says, all to show his love towards the church. He says, so the Holy Spirit freely sets these gifts in the church. And they perfectly operate if you just won't get excited and try to take what you think yourself. So you don't get yourself in the way. You don't get your agenda in the way. No, but if you can just be yielded and submissive to him and just follow him, he knows what he's doing. That's going to work perfectly, the prophet says. And that's why he says we need him there on the battlefront. It says in Church Ages, he says in the Church Age book, page 345, people are all saying and trying to prove, Laodicea, that they have it all or they have enough. Yet is that the truth? He says, compare this 20th century church to the first century church. Go ahead. Where's the power? Where is the love? Where's the purified church that withstood sin and walked with faith towards Jesus? Where is the unity? Now, I'm glad, friends, in the bride, we have so much of that. But he's speaking about the Laodicean church. You can't find it. If this church, Laodicea, has all it needs, yeah? Why were they crying out for more of God in the book of Acts? As though they didn't have it all, yet they had far more than we have today. In the book of Acts, they had so much, but they were continually crying out for more of God. Yet Laodicea, we say we're rich, increased in goods, we have need of nothing. That's what he says about the Laodicean church. It shouldn't be like that. Because God has one measure stick, and that was his first and perfect work, the book of Acts. And we see what he did then. And how, friends, can people say that we're in a restoration and somehow we're going to bypass these gifts? We're going to say Luther had to be restored, Wesley sanctification, bypass Azusa. We'll come and say the word has to be restored. It's a proper restoration. It's a restoration back to what there was in the beginning. And in the beginning, God was working his ministry through his church, through the people. It wasn't just certain individual things. Now, obviously, to balance it before we get to looking at some of these gifts, in super sign, he says, but God only gives you these things on condition. Obviously, there's conditions. I mean, if God loves you, he's not going to give you something which is going to damage you or damage his body. So sometimes he's going to hold something back from you because you're not yet ready for that kind of a thing. He says, that's what I think about the gifts of the Spirit in the church today. So many says it needs to be there. But it'll only come in there under conditions. He says, that's what we find. The reason God cannot trust too many spiritual gifts with people is they don't know how to control them. Like I say, even the fivefold ministry gifts, friend, what has caused havoc in the bride over these years? It's people not using the gifts properly. Somebody gets a revelation, a little bit more than somebody else. He wants to make himself something. Everybody has to follow. Somebody else gets another revelation over here, better than the rest, or something a little bit further on a certain line. Right from the beginning of the message up to now, this has been the problem. Doesn't mean the people aren't gifted, but the prophet says, if you don't use them properly, he says, that's what's the matter today. The reason we don't have no more than we do. And we do find there's a lot of impersonation of spiritual gifts. But I don't believe in our church, he says. I believe we have genuine gifts, but we must know how to control those gifts. And that's the wonderful thing about the message, is the prophet came and really put things in order. Showed the scriptural framework of making sure things stay in order. Because he knows, you know, that Satan's not going to be too far away from manifesting himself when these things manifest. He really loves to show himself in these kind of things. Now, the key to any spiritual work that God does in his body is that the different gifts must complement each other. Yes. Friends, there's nothing worse than seeing gifts fighting each other. I've seen that before. You find different agendas, different competing things in the same group. One person trying to pull this way with the gift and some one person. The genuine work of the Spirit in surrendered lives of people is all of the gifts will be pulling in the same direction. No matter what a person has, You know, there's going to be a harmony between the gifts. Yes. Take it to music. If you find that the song leader, the musician, or the song leader, he's yielded to the Lord, the Holy Ghost is going to lead him in songs which are going to work in harmony with the rest of the operation of the Spirit for the day. And that's how you'll know that we're getting somewhere here. We're getting more seasoned. We're getting more yielded to the Spirit. Is that what you're doing isn't totally out of kilter with what the rest of the people are doing? That wouldn't make any sense. Surely God has one mind. Surely He has one desire and purpose for us at this time. There's a certain something He's trying to put across to us. A certain work that He's trying to do in our midst. And surely any way that God calls you, any gifting that He's given you, if you'll get yielded, it's going to work together for the good. It's going to minister to the building up of that something which God is trying to build up at that time. You know, and that's the key. These things, they have to work together. So though we desire the manifestation of the Spirit in our lives, make sure we have the right objective with it. Why do we want it? Are we trying to prove a point to somebody else? Or trying to show that I've got this and you don't have it? I've seen that. You've seen that. You've seen people when gifts come in their church, friends, they become puffed up. The prophet says they become proud. Because now they want to say, we have these gifts, no one else has these gifts. That's not why these things are given. That's not the reason for these things. That's just us in our immaturity. And that's why Paul all the time, when he speaks of gifts, it's like Paul is saying that love is like the oil in the machine. You see, when God is operating, when there's agape love, the prophet says, when you are living under the Shekinah glory, he says, watch how those things operate. Because there's nobody getting their own individual personality involved. Nobody's trying to put the agenda there. You're just laying everything upon the altar and you're saying, Lord, use me for your glory. And then God works through the manifold gifts that He's put inside of His people. But it's all working towards one cause, towards one goal, which is the edification of His body. That's the purpose. So while we're waiting for the perfection of the church, while we want our church to be edified and built up, friends, God has provided everything that we need if we can just yield ourselves unto Him. Now, when the Lord starts to give gifts, let's remember one thing. In whatever gift, you may have a gift of hospitality. That's one of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you may be given over to that, like Paul says. You may have a gift of prayer. You know, there's so many different gifts. You may have a gift. We'll have a look at some more of them just now. But whenever we speak in the Bible of spiritual gifts, let's remember that every gift, it's spiritual. He says this isn't natural. So there's a supernatural experience. If anybody ever speaks in tongues, it's a supernatural experience. There's a supernatural coming into the natural and manifesting itself. If someone interprets tongues, it's supernatural. Every time it's supernatural. It's not a natural something that's taken place. So anything that we're called to do, the prophet says, let it never become common. Because that's the problem. You can start. Let's say you call to a certain office. Let's say the song leader once again. You don't ever want it to become natural. You don't want the song leader, you don't want the musician to be leaning on their natural talents and abilities. These are spiritual gifts. So every time a spiritual gift works, there's got to be some supernatural. That's why it's a spiritual gift. There's got to be a supernatural energy, a supernatural leading, a supernatural anointing. You know, that's why the prophet says, keep it spiritual. Keep it spiritual. He says, those that are called unto whatever you're called to do, he says, wait upon your ministry. You need to wait upon your ministry. Because if you're not waiting upon the ministry, it becomes natural after a while. Then now the spiritual side starts to recede. And now it's our natural side which we're putting forward. And friends, the natural side doesn't edify the body. The natural side doesn't minister the church to perfection. The natural man cannot please God. You know, and that's why any calling, anything, this is a stewardship that's been given to us. And one day we have to answer for this stewardship. Amen. The stewardship of the manifold grace of God. You know, one day He's going to ask us, I gave you these things. What did you do with them? Yes. How did you handle them? Because it's quite an easy thing to take it and let it go down a certain line, friends, and it's not a blessing anymore. Yes. Something that started in the Spirit, like the Galatians, it ends up in the flesh. You don't want it to be that, friends. No matter how long you are in whatever office or calling that God calls you to be in, never let it become common. Remember King Uzziah, he let it become common. He didn't realize God was using him to build up Jerusalem, to build up the body. And then after a while, he got himself involved in the picture. And he thought he could do what he wanted to do. And he got himself in trouble with God. And that's why the key is to yield and get yourself out the way. Because Jesus was the perfect example of the spiritual gifts in operation. Jesus manifests just about every spiritual gift you can think about. Because he was the Word made flesh. But it wasn't Jesus, his deity, him as God manifesting. It was Jesus, the man, under the anointing, operating these things. Because he wanted to show us how we can fulfill our commission. He was so yielded. The prophet actually says it about Jesus. He says, the Spirit flowed through him like wind through a building. That's how he says it. If God wanted to do something, he could just flow in this direction through him. If God wanted to do something, he could just flow. He says, like a river flowing in a stream. He says, that's how it was with Jesus. He was so surrendered. He had got himself so out of the way that though he was a man, friends, wherever he went, there was edification. There was ministration. There was the kingdom being built up. There was something being done. He's the perfect example. Obviously, he was virgin born. He didn't have some of the hindrances that we have. You know, the quirks in our personalities and the things which our parents gave us as an inheritance. All of these things can get in the way. But Jesus is the perfect example, friends. But the Bible says it wasn't Jesus and his own ability, his own power, even as a God-man. The Bible says God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost. And he went around doing good and healing the sick. You know, it was the anointing that came upon him and quickened the certain things that he was supposed to manifest. It was that brought it forth in that age. It was all a supernatural. And friends, dealing with anything to do with that, like the message of the hour, dealing with whatever it is that we're called to do, let's make sure that it stays supernatural. Because the more we can yield ourselves, the more supernatural it's going to be. Now, the more we can get ourselves out the way, now the deeper he can manifest himself, the more it can be a manifestation of the Spirit now. Not just the manifestation of a person, nor the abilities of a person. But that's what the prophet says about Nicolaitanism, you know, conquering the laity. No, taking away the manifestation from the people. That was a great thing that Satan wants to do. He wants to take it away from the people and put it all on certain people. And these are the holy men, and this is the holy bishop. But the prophet says in the early church, the gifts were right throughout the body. No, the spirit, the wind filled the building, filled the whole house that they were dwelling in, and God filled the people. Another thing just to bear in mind as well is the difference between the gift and the soul. You know, your soul. We were just saying it last week. One brother had sent me something I really liked. You know, there was a certain brother we were back home with, a real fine brother, who had such a gift of evangelism, a tremendous gift of evangelism. We've spoken of him before. Once he came to church on a Sunday, I think it was 17 or whatever, new people that he brought on a day. He had such a gift of evangelism. And then when we separated, we didn't see him for some years. We heard he went back to the world. He got himself caught up in a whole lot of other things. You know, and then he came back to the Lord. And then he contacted me, and he was with a certain brother back home, a certain minister there. And then when he contacted me a few weeks back, he had moved. He had left that church and gone to another one. And I wondered, but what's going on here? Why did he do that? So I contacted now the pastor of the church where he's at. And I just asked the question, how is this brother doing? And he says, he's no longer with us anymore. He's not fellowshipping anywhere. Now this brother has a very powerful gift of healing. Now he's been in the newspaper in our town back home. A very, very powerful testimony of how he dreamt, and in a dream, he saw a certain woman that she was crippled, and he saw her coming down the street. And in the dream, he was with the pastor, and he prayed for that woman, and she was healed. And he went and he told the pastor, and they went and they prayed, and they sought the Lord about it. And then just after that, they were walking down the street in town, and they found exactly that woman come down the street. And he prayed, and the Lord raised her up after so many years, whatever, being in a wheelchair, whatever it was. And she went to the newspaper. And it became a big, big story in the national newspaper how the Lord had raised this lady up. And another time when he prayed for a lady who had cancer, and the cancer was immediately conquered in her body, totally disappeared while he was just even speaking to her without even praying for her. It became a big testimony in town. So I wondered, but hey, this brother's got such a gift, such, you know, calling inside of his life. But he's got all these kind of troubles. He's messed up his marriage. He's messed himself up. He can't stay under headship in a church. So I contacted this brother and I said, what's going on? And he answered so well. He said, to tell the truth, bro, this brother's so interested in his gift, but we're interested in his soul. Amen. He says, but that's the problem. This brother doesn't want people to minister to his soul. He wants just all the time to focus on the gift. And friends, that's a great, great mistake that you can make. A great mistake. Because there's certain deficiencies in the maturity of the man. Like with all of us. God wants to bring us to maturity. That if you're going to just focus on the gift and say, but look at the results that my gift is bringing forth. You've got to be careful with that. You've got to be careful because it'll catch you down the way. And if you're not willing to be under headship, if you're not willing to be under authority, friends, to operate whatever ministry or calling you've got, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble with God. Because no gift is to be used outside of the body. The gifts are for the edification of the body of Christ. And that's what it's got to be. You might ask yourself and say, we looked at that question the other week. What about my calling? What about my gifting? And then the prophet says, one way you'll know it is, does God bless it? And that's one thing to really, really ask yourself. You know, sometimes we can do things. I contacted the brothers back in Czech this week and I asked, you know, I just said thank you to them. And then Brother Zalis emailed me back and said, Brother, thank you very much. He said it was one of the best camps we had. And I was grateful for that. Because there's times we can feel good. There's times you can go and minister to people and you feel good at the end, but people don't feel good. You haven't done any good. But the prophet says when the pastor is happy and the office deacons are happy and the church is happy, then God is happy. That's the way you know if you're operating your gift in the right way. Whatever your calling, whatever your gift, there's got to be a witness in the body. The body will discern and say, this is wonderful. Remember when David took his sling and he went and he slew Goliath. Saul wasn't happy with him, but the entire body was happy with him. And the people were saying, David slew 10,000 and Saul slew 1,000. And the pastor wasn't happy because he was a young man who was doing excelling in the spiritual realm in the church. But if Saul had been in his right position, he would have appreciated what God had risen up. Because God had brought something in their midst to bridge the gap in the armor. Because the enemy was coming and boasting, and Israel at that point didn't have something to meet the challenge. So God raised up something in their midst to come and meet that challenge. And instead of appreciating that and trying to nurture and encourage that gifting there, Saul should have discerned, everybody in my camp loves this young man. People can sense there's something inside of here which is for the good of the body. There's something for the edification of the saints here. But instead of that, Saul looked with an evil eye. But that was a sure sign. Whenever Samson would rise up and there'd be that manifestation of the Spirit, you know, it was on behalf, many times when Samson was in the right channel, of the sons and daughters of Israel. He would slay the Philistines and do certain things. And people would appreciate it. If Samson could have just yielded himself more fully, he could have been such a blessing. But people appreciated what Samson was, because when the Spirit would come upon Samson, it would benefit the camp of Israel. And that's what you want it to be. You know, you can't think that you're called to do something and there's no witness anywhere. No, there's no witness. You're the only one. It's easy for me to go and do some. Easy for a musician to say, no, God called me to sing. But when he sings and the people are just grinning with a cheesy grin, like this, amen, <yeah. laughs> you know, it's not the way that it should be. But when someone comes even to sing an item, and the Spirit gets into the gift, and there's something supernatural now, it's not just a natural ability anymore, it's a spiritual manifestation, see the witness in the body. Everyone can feel it inside of their soul. Tears come down people's eyes. People stand up and put their arms in the air. People worship God. That's what it is. You know, there's got to be a ministration to the body. If you're in your position, if you're yielding yourself in any kind of a way into his hand for him to manifest himself, it's a manifestation of the Spirit unto the edification of the church. It builds up the church. It strengthens the church. It does something good for the sons and daughters of God. And that's why you will know. And many times if you're young in the faith, it's good to ask. You know, if you go and ask somebody and say, you know, I'm really feeling to do this. You know, I really feel led to do this. The prophet says, go and do it. See if God blesses it. But then take an honest advice. Because there's certain things that you can do and everyone will know. This person's going down the right line now. This is it now. No, this is it. You can feel in the spiritual realm. There's an amen in the spiritual realm. It's like heaven is bearing witness of what's being done. Because this is the way that God wanted something to be, to minister to his children at that time. You know, and you can tell many, many times, if you want to know, what am I called to do? Is what you're doing fruitful? Is it edifying the body? Is it building up the body? Is it building up the kingdom? No, does it encourage people to push on? Does it bring people to the knowledge of Christ? Does it do something to establish his kingdom? You know, if you're in your position, the gifts are given to build up the body. The gifts are given, if it's an evangelistic gift, to bring people into the kingdom. And God knows how to operate. If you've got an evangelistic gift, he knows how to bring people your way that need evangelism. No, he's going to match the need with the gift. That's exactly what he's going to do. That's where you'll find people like Brother Rock up there in the north. He's got a real gift of evangelism. He's outstanding. If you go on the street with him, it's a supernatural something. It's not a natural something. It's exciting to be with someone like that. When someone's in their position and you see the way God can use someone, you know, you want to learn. You want to learn as much. None of us can touch the way that that man can go out on the street. I've seen that man lead so many people to Christ on the street. Just in a powerful kind of a way. But it's what God called him to be. And that's how God keeps bringing people his way. God keeps bringing people his way. And he just, manifestation of the Spirit, and he'll witness to them. Manifestation, he'll witness to them. You know, it doesn't mean that all of us aren't called to witness. That's something we're all called to do. But he has a gift of evangelism. Here's something which is above the normal, which you find in a normal individual. Every person has the ability to testify. But when there's a gift in a person and God quickens that gift, everybody will acknowledge to say, yeah, this is a blessing. This is something that can be used for the glory of God. And as long as that person can remain humble, what a blessing that it is. Because it builds up the body. It builds up the kingdom. It encourages and brings an enthusiasm into other people. It's a ministration of the Spirit. Now, if he tries to use his natural personality and it's no longer a spiritual gift, you see it by its results. You'll just see this is just a lot of, you know, reasoning with people and arguing with people. That once it moves back into the realm that it should be operated in and it's a spiritual gift, what a blessing that it is. Even like we say with musicians, even with any gift, even prayer. Friends, the gift of prayer is a powerful gift. When you find someone who can pray all night, yeah, that's not natural. That's not just normal. Everyone's called to pray. But there's certain people, like we saw Daniel Nash, that was a gift of prayer. That was something supernatural, that a man can lay on his face day and night and be so burdened for the sins of the city. A person can shut himself in for 3 days, not eating, in a basement, lay on his face, groaning under the anointing of the Spirit, on behalf of the most notorious sinners in the city. And then when he had come from there, you would see the manifestation and those people coming to Christ, those people coming into the kingdom. Friends, that's a great gift. Wouldn't you love a gift like that here? Someone with a gift of prayer, that unsung sort of a hero kind of a person, not a public something, but someone who shuts themselves in and the anointing comes upon that something. And it's a supernatural, it's a gift of the Spirit. God manifests himself in that kind of a way. But in whatever it is that God calls us to do, he's the one who needs to vindicate it. Never try to vindicate yourself. Never try to prove yourself that you're anybody. He's the one that does the vindicating. When the prophet went to Mishawaka, he didn't even want to go in front of the people. But he had been praying the night before, Lord, give me favor with these people. And then when they said, where's William Branham? Then he realized, but how am I going to win favor with the people if I don't go in at least and preach? And then when he went and stood in front of the people, because God wanted him to minister to those people, God gave him favor with those people. How did God give him favor? By coming down on the gift. by so anointing that man that when he preached, there was such a witness in the body. He wasn't trying to prove himself anything. It was God who was doing the proving. God was doing the vindicating. And when he went outside, and here come all the people. Now I'm from down in Texas. Won't you come and hold me a revival? I minister to the Indians. Won't you come and, you know, the Lord spoke to me in the service. Won't you come and minister to the Indians? Our friends, that was a vindication of something. Amen. And surely that's how you can see what God wants you to be. You know, as you go and mature and move on in the Lord, and just those kind of gifts, you can see by the witness. You can see by the vindication, not you yourself, but God's giving you favor. God is opening a way. God is leading you into a certain something. And you just keep following that. Now, there was a sister in the tabernacle who had a gift of dreams. And she came to the prophet. And that's a great gift if somebody has that. But the prophet told her, sister, that's a real gift from God. But stay humble. Because with this kind of gift, if you're not humble, if you start to glorify yourself, God will take it away. The gift will be there, but God won't use it anymore. And that's an important one. You know, if she could just stay humble, that was a great, great blessing to the body. She could dream certain things and it would come to pass every time. And a dream interpreted is a prophecy. We know that. What about some of these other kind of gifts? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's have a look at some of these gifts just before we come to a close. Just to show that there's diversities of gifts and diversities of ministries. But it's the same Spirit working all in all. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So friend, any person who's in the body of Christ is a supernatural body. We know that. Any person who's baptized into his body today is subject to these gifts. It's different than ministerial gifts. Those are predestinated to a person, to be a teacher, a pastor, evangelist. You know, God has to make a person in a certain way to work in those kind of gifts. But in the other spiritual gifts that God has given, each of these, every person is subject unto these things. You know, that's what the prophet's going to tell us in a minute here. Then he starts now to speak. If you go to the next verse, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Hey, like I'm saying, many times we seem to focus on the gifts upside down. The moment someone speaks about gifts, it's, I've seen tongues before and it didn't work. And it's true. We all saw that. But I've seen tongues before and it did work. I've seen when the prophet was there that time and Danny Henry got in the Spirit, a Baptist boy. Yeah, and there was a tongues and there was an interpretation of perfect French. And says, because you have chosen the narrow way. Friends, that was a mighty manifestation of something. And when the prophet says he spoke in German tongues that day, he didn't know what he was saying. But what was it? God was ministering to the woman dying of tuberculosis on the road. That was a mighty manifestation of something. You know, so there's the genuine things. So when we're speaking about the gift of wisdom, the prophet says, if you'll notice the routine of the gifts, the first is a gift of wisdom. That is the best gift of the group. So when Paul's saying, earnestly desire spiritual gifts, let's desire wisdom. If this is the greatest of the gifts, friends, if Christ died for us to have access to this supernatural gift of wisdom, who here doesn't need wisdom? Who here doesn't need wisdom? The prophet says, that's the best gift. If we don't have wisdom, we won't know how to use knowledge, which is the second gift. So he can give us great knowledge, but we don't have wisdom to know how to use that knowledge, and we do more harm than good. He can give us a gift of healing, but unless we have wisdom, we don't know how to use that gift. The prophet says you'll go and take a curse of someone that God has cursed, and you get yourself in trouble with God. He says, so you need wisdom. Need wisdom. It says if you don't have wisdom, we won't know how to use knowledge, which is the second gift, or interpretation, or the next to the last, speaking in tongues. That's why people would rise up in the prophet's ministry and speak in tongues and disturb the service. They had a gift, but they didn't have wisdom. They didn't have wisdom to know when to operate that gift. He goes on to say in the message, image of the beast. He says, that's a gift, brother. And that gift wants to operate all the time. But you've got to have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit here to know when and how to operate that gift. Ah, friends, that is a great thing, isn't it? Imagine if you can have this divine wisdom. Because God is wisdom. He's the fountain of wisdom. In dealing with your children, don't you desire a gift of wisdom? To know how and when to say certain things. In dealing with your wife, in dealing with your brothers and sisters in church, whatever your office, whatever your ministration, whatever your calling is, you need wisdom. Because it might not be the right time. You feel to do something and you're going to go. A person's right on the edge of the ditch. They're about to give up the faith. And you feel it's time for me to go and correct that person. It's right your gift. Maybe it's right your office. But maybe the wisdom to apply it at the right time, the right season wasn't there. And instead of helping the person, you push them right back into the world. I've done that before to somebody. Go and try to help somebody exactly the wrong time. Although the desire was good. The motive and objective was good. But there wasn't the wisdom there to know how to apply the knowledge that you had of what needed to be done in that situation. That's a gift that deacons need as well. Especially, gift of wisdom. Now, to know the wisdom, we know it. Ministers need the gift of wisdom. You know, because we can have a lot of knowledge. We can accumulate knowledge. We can get all into the mysteries and all of that. But to seek for wisdom to use that knowledge so that it's used for the edification of the body. So that it will minister to a need in due season. Oh, friends, we need to pray for one another. Because it's not such an easy thing. It needs the grace of God. In the message, ministry explained, the prophet says, so when Solomon, who was the successor of David, when he came, God anointed Solomon and gave him a gift. God has always had gifts to lead his people. He's not speaking about the 9 spiritual gifts. He's speaking of the ministerial gifts to lead his church. That's gifts to lead his church. Search the scriptures. Gifted human beings has led God's people. And Solomon prayed for a gift of wisdom. And God gave him the gift of wisdom to lead his people. When the Lord came to him by night, when he had offered that great offering at Gibeon, or wherever it was, and the Lord said, ask me whatever you desire. He says, Lord, I'm but a child. Who am I that I should go in and out before your people? And he prayed, he says, Lord, give me wisdom. And that so pleased God. That God came down and says, you didn't ask for the life of your enemies. You didn't ask for great riches. Therefore, I'll give you riches above all the rest. And I'll give you wisdom to lead my people. It really pleased the Lord, friends, when he sought for wisdom so that all the resources that he had, that he could use them correctly for the body of the believers in that age. That he could use his throne, he could use his authority, so that he could use his position to be a blessing to the people. How many other kings of Israel sat on the same throne and weren't a blessing? They divided Israel. They brought a curse amidst the people of God. They brought people in bondage. They brought people in servitude. But here was a man who asked for the gift of wisdom. And God made the kingdom of Solomon outside of David's the greatest kingdom, a type of the millennium. The prophet says it was the golden age of Israel. When there was a man that was governed by the gift of wisdom. You know, later he backslid. But God gave him a great gift. The gift of wisdom. It actually says in 1 Kings, it says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. Our friends. Who wouldn't want that? Amen. Divine wisdom. Spiritual wisdom. And understanding exceeding much. Ah, friends, I'd love to hang around with people like that, wouldn't you? I'd love to go and sit down and fellowship with people that have got that kind of a gift and that kind of a gift of the spirits in operation. It's going to be tremendously helpful. Because the people are going to be able to take all the experiences and all the things they went through, going to be able to rightly divide them, and that spirit of wisdom is going to give them exactly the right thing to say to you. And it's going to be exactly what you need. It's going to be practical. It's going to minister exactly to your situation. Our friends, that's a gift of wisdom. It also says in Kings, it says, all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged. and they feared the king. For they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. Justice and the way that he would judge things. Remember, they brought the baby before him. Those two harlots. That was a gift of wisdom, friends. There was no way. I mean, you look at that, was so outstanding for him to handle that situation like that. He was in an impossible situation. What's he supposed to do? And then something just quickened inside of his soul. Something just quickened and just a certain wisdom came down. Give me the baby. Give me a sword. Divide it in two. And then that mother cried, no, rather give the baby to the other one. Then he says, this is the mother. Because he knew what was in her mother. What is the gift of wisdom in Jesus when they came with a coin and says, you know, should we give tax unto Caesar? And he says, give me that coin. Tell me, whose face is on the coin? They said, Caesar, give to Caesar that which belongs. Friends, that was wisdom. No one could answer against him, but it was given to him at that time. He didn't have to go and study. He didn't have to go and think about it. But it was in the battlefield. It was part of his armor. It came and manifested itself exactly when it needed to manifest itself. That was a real, real gift of wisdom. What about the gift of knowledge, which is the next one? It says to another, the word of knowledge. Listen what the prophet says about the gift of knowledge. He says, in impersonation of Christianity, he says, speaking about Ezekiel, how he took him right up into heavenly places. He says, think of it now. He says, a prophet is also a gift of knowledge. Hey, that's a gift of knowledge. He says, knowledge is like an attorney who studies the books. And when you go to hire an attorney to plead your case, he's only taking what he knows and you're paying for what he knows to present your case before the judge. So what is the gift of knowledge? It's that God will allow a person with a gift of knowledge to know so many things. There's so many things in the message. There's so many things in the scripture. But then when you have a certain need, or that person has a certain need, just like when you go to an attorney, the attorney has the ability to be able to take all of those volumes of the law, of so many diverse laws, speaking of different situations. And if that's a real gifted attorney, he'll find exactly those statutes, exactly just those pages, exactly those specific parts of the law which answer exactly to your situation. That's what the gift of knowledge is. It's not just to say a lot of things. It's not just to impart just a whole stream, a whole torrent of things that a person's learned or a person knows. But the gift of knowledge to be able in the spiritual realm to take exactly what's needed at that time. Friends, that would be a wonderful thing. My, imagine that ability. Has God never done that to you? Has God never quickened something to you? And you wonder, where did that come from? And it's exactly the right thing at the right time. That's not natural knowledge, friends. That's not our knowledge of studying books. That's a something supernatural that takes place. Because somebody is subject to these things because you're baptized into the body. And these gifts are at operation inside of the body. Because this is the armor that is given unto us. The prophet says, now a gift of knowledge in the Bible is prophecy, which goes up and finds out these things that are to come and brings them back down. So a prophet, Peter on the day of Pentecost, there was a whole Old Testament of knowledge. But he gets up in the spiritual realm and he comes back and he says, this is that was written by the prophet Joel. He takes exactly from the word exactly to answer that situation. This is that which was written by the prophet Joel. My, what about Jesus on the way to Emmaus? That was the gift of knowledge. He took everything pertaining to the situation, starting from Moses, going all the way through the Psalms, all the way through the prophets. He expounded unto them the things concerning himself. He wasn't speaking irrelevant things to them. He wasn't ministering things to them on the way that they didn't need. But it was a something supernatural that everything that he was saying to them there was exactly what they needed to hear. Oh, friends, that's a gift of knowledge. That's a powerful gift. that a person can know. And friends, you and I are subject unto these things. Whenever we get in the Spirit, we're subject unto these gifts. That's why Paul says, desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Wisdom, knowledge. My, wouldn't you desire that with your children? Just that something that you can say that just perfectly answers a situation. Oh, friends, that's knowledge. The prophet says, it isn't that God speaks and says something to the prophet at that time. It's that the prophet catches what God already has said. You see? So somehow you're catching what God already has said and you're bringing it down and you're putting in that situation. He says, that's a gift of knowledge. He says, for the word was before the foundation of the world. God spoke the word. And it's laying out, stretched out in time. And the prophet goes up and sees the time coming. So it's only a gift of knowledge. He brings it down and he puts it on paper. Because God's word is forever established in the heavens. But he breaks into that place and he gains access to exactly what's needed in that great panorama of God's word. And he ministers to that situation. He says in new ministry, William Branham, my ministry to lay hands on the sick, it's been made by a divine gift. To bring the presence of Jesus. By a discernment of spirit, which is called in the Bible a gift of knowledge. So he calls it that. Because people would come, friends, and they've got diverse needs. This person's losing their mind. This person can't be healed. This person, they've trouble in their home. He doesn't need to come and read them the whole Bible. He needs somehow to break into a certain realm. A certain supernatural something that what he says is exactly what that person needs to hear. To go right into the mind of Christ with his omniscience of knowing all things. And that gift to be able just to pluck that one thing out and say, when you were young, you were on a cart and it hit a bump and you fell off and you damaged your spine. And that's what's causing this problem. And the person will say, mercy be to God. I totally had forgotten about that. Friends, that's a gift of knowledge. Divine knowledge. What's it being used for? So the prophet can make himself a big name. For the edification of the body. For the work of the ministry. To minister specifically to a specific need. When the enemy thought, I've got them now. I've got them now. God comes with exactly the ammunition that's required to blast him out of that situation. To put the armor back in its place and he's fortified his church. Each and every one of these things is the same way, friends. We could go through all of them. We won't do it today. But he speaks about faith and healing. The gift of faith and the gift of healing. He says, an inner man, God put some in the church to be gifts of healing. That's the prayer of faith, of course. A gift of healing. A prayer of faith. Like I said, God energizes, quickens somebody's faith. That person can see someone with a crippled foot. And they can believe it's going to come straight. That's not natural, friends. You and I have a measure of faith. And we see that, but a gift of faith, people can believe for things that you and I can't believe for, friends. And it'll challenge you. The prophet, they would bring some of those things before him. Hey, friends. Ah, and you and I would think, but yay, to pray for that. To pray for someone crippled up like that. When their legs are crippled behind them in their arms. And the prophet would just have something, a supernatural something in his soul that he believed. Something was telling him, this person's going to walk. This person's going to walk. That's a gift of faith. Gift of healing. The prophet says in Queen of Sheba, I believe the gifts of healing is in the church. Doesn't have to be a preacher. Just a lay member. Anybody who feels led to go and pray for somebody. Go and do it. That's the gift of healing working in you. And that's true. And we know the example, that woman who took the child, the baby, between the services. Because she had the burden. So she's the one who went and prayed and God manifested it. Brother Francois was testifying in Czech Republic of how the Lord healed Rebecca when she was young of her heart problem. That's powerful, friends. That's gifts of healing working in the body. And the prophet says, if we could just yield ourselves unto it. He says, it's not far off. He says, many times it's on you. If you could just yield yourself to it, you'd see a manifestation of it. Amen. And how he goes on to say that. He says, about that woman, he says, the compassion of that mother for the baby would have gone far beyond what I would have had for it. You see, gifts of healing. If God ever speaks to your heart to go and pray for somebody, you do what God tells you to do. Always follow the Holy Spirit. Our friends, we won't get on to the other ones today. But there's gifts of prophecy. And Paul says, out of all the gifts, seek prophecy. Because prophecy builds up the body like nothing else. Our friends, when you go in fellowship and the gift of prophecy comes in your fellowship, and someone speaks to you something which they don't even know. They think they're speaking natural, but they're in the Spirit. And it's God speaking directly to your situation. There's nothing that can help a person like that. When the word comes and just discerns right down in your heart and unveils your life, and that person doesn't even know why they're saying the things that they say. That's one kind of a manifestation of the gift of prophecy. It's things that a person speaks which could only be known supernaturally. There's no way a person could have known those kind of things. That's the gift of prophecy in the body. And there's all these kind of gifts that God has given unto us. But just to finish it off, why did He give them to us? For the ministration, for the edification of the body, that you may be better equipped to be what we're supposed to be in this day. Imagine how wonderful if someone had a gift of healing, went to Brother Shep in the hospital there, prayed for him, and God just smote his knee, struck his knee, and the brother just jumped off the bed, leaping and walking and praising God, like it was in the Bible. Friends, that's in the body. Every one of us have access to that if we've been baptized into the body. We just need to yield ourselves to Him. Have the right motive, have the right objective. Don't tell God what you want to be done in your life, but let Him use you the way that you want. That's where the Pentecostals went wrong. They went to seek God, but they said, "Oh God, you must make me speak in tongues. You must make me speak in tongues." That doesn't make any sense. There's all manner of gifts that He wants to give to you. You should go seeking Him with an expectation, but with no agenda. Not to say, "Lord, I want to do this, that, or the other," but you go and seek Him. Say, "Lord, I just want to be a vessel in your hands. I just want to be used of Thee. I just want to be a blessing to you. I just want to be a blessing to your people. Lord, I just want you to use me as an instrument that I can be used to edify, to build up, that you may manifest yourself, that you may establish your kingdom, and that you may be glorified." And friends, He'll do it. Because that's what He's called us for. Let's stand. Paul said, desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Let's be seeking, friends, to be used of Him. And whatever He's called you to do, let's never let it become natural, friends. Let it always become something supernatural. That it's not just the natural workings, but He's working on behalf of His people. Let's sing that song. Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Deeper in the holy place.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus. Deeper, let me go. Higher, higher in the school of wisdom. Deeper, Jesus, I'm trying to lift me up. Lord, lift me. Holy love of Jesus, let me flow.
Son of a prophet, but I'll say one thing. You determine today that you want to be better used in the kingdom of God. And watch how the devil will challenge you. If you want to be more effective, if you want to be more prayerful, if you want to be used more in his hand and in his kingdom, prepare yourself for warfare. But the good thing is he'll minister the resources that you need. And he'll prove his power and he'll prove his faithfulness to you in the midst of battle. Because it's on the battlefield that you understand why you were really given those pieces of armor. That's when you'll find out the goodness of God towards you. Let's sing that song, Must I Be Carried Home to Heaven on a Flowery Bed of Ease, while others fought to gain the prize. No, friends, let's put on the armor of God. Let's go forth in His name as soldiers of the cross.
Must Jesus be carried home?
That's the right one the sister put there. Am I a soldier of the cross?
Am I a soldier of the cross?
tents until the battle's over. Let's pledge allegiance to the Lamb once again. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's pledge that all that we are and all that we have, we give it to Him. For His use, for His service, for His glory. And friends, I really do believe that kind of an attitude, God will bless. And God will increase your borders. God will enlarge your borders and your sphere of influence. And God will start using Hallelujah. You in different ways. Our friends, let's be under an expectation for Him to work His will. But we His hands and His feet.
Hallelujah.
So may His will be done. Let's sing that song. Let's come to a time of prayer today, friends. I pledge allegiance.
I have heard a Christian long ago, where broke people and tyrants roam. They were told that He was dead and lost. If they would renounce their name of God, but why? Son of God, they would never, never deny. Like a great and jailing fire, I see. When they overseer, oh, I pledge allegiance to God with all my strength.
Pledge allegiance to
Oh, friends, let's come before Him in prayer now. Now, you know where you are in the Lord. Maybe you're just starting out and you're saying, but Lord, I don't have this spiritual armor that I need. I've never met you in a supernatural way. I've never met you in my soul. That, Lord, you would equip me with this something. And Father, while it is yet called today, Father, I can hear the Savior calling me. And I'm coming unto thee, Lord, because I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a soldier at the battlefront. I want to play my part. I want to serve my King. I want to fulfill the purpose that you called me for. Father, I want to be in your hands. I want to be an instrument in this last day. But Father, you're going to have to equip me with it, Lord. And I'm coming unto thee upon this day. And I'm offering myself unto thee. I'm bringing my soul and I'm laying it upon the altar. Father, I'm coming by the way of your precious blood.
Hallelujah.
And I'm saying, here I am, Lord.
Amen.
Equip me and strengthen me, Lord. And energize me and meet me, Lord. And Father, let me have a burning bush experience like Moses.
Or,
Father, let it be a road to Damascus like Paul.
Yes.
But Father, I'm needing something. I'm needing a Peniel like Jacob. Whatever situation you're in, friends, He is the answer to our current situations.
Amen.
He is the answer to every need.
Amen.
He wants to minister to us, body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
And He wants to use us as vessels of honor.
Yes.
To minister and edify and build up His body.
Amen.
So let's come before Him and pray. Let's call upon His name. Let's seek Him. If the devil's been giving you a hard time, why don't you call time on the devil today?
Amen.
Why don't you say enough is enough? Why don't you step out in faith and take the initiative?
Amen.
Why don't you go forth like David and run and meet the enemy upon this day? And He will give you the spiritual armor that you need. Though it may be a little slingshot in your hands. But He will quicken you to face up to whatever that thing is. You might say, I've had it for a long time. That doesn't matter. With Shamgar, it was a long time. But one day he had enough. And he stood against that enemy and he took his ox goad. And God took it and he put on the armor of God. And he smote those Philistines. Friends, let's not give recourse to the enemy. Let's not give room to him. Let him not hide behind reasoning and excuses and things like this. But let's come today to the battlefield once again. And let's face the enemy face to face. And let's say enough is enough. And let's go forth in the whole armor of God to face up to whatever it is that needs to be faced up to. And may He manifest Himself. May His name be glorified. Let's all pray today. Father, by faith we come.
Father, thanking thee, Lord, for this opportunity given unto us, Lord, even upon this day. Father, knowing indeed, Lord God, thou hast called us. Father, Lord God, to righteousness, Lord, to mercy, Lord. Father, you have not called us in, Lord. You have not called us, Lord. Father, Lord God, to live a life that is personal, Lord, but to live a life that would edify, Lord, your body, Lord, Savior God. Father, we ask your grace, Lord, Savior. Guide us, lead us, Lord, Savior God. You direct us, Lord, Father. Lord, even as, Lord, Savior, thine word has come, Lord. Guide us now, we pray in thine holy name.
Let's come to time of worship, sing.
Jesus, keep me.
chosen the narrow way.
Amen.
There's a huge portion of heaven awaits you. Our friends, we're following in the footsteps of the prophet, friends. And there was a huge portion of heaven that waited him. Our friends, there's a lot of heavenly places that is our inheritance that we need to possess, that we need to take advantage of so much. Let's sing that song as a prayer.
Because you have chosen a narrow path, the hardest way.
Closer to him, to be more surrendered into his hands. Whatever it is, I'm sure we all desire more of him. Yes, Lord.
Beloved Heavenly Father,
yes, Lord.
This afternoon we come before thy presence to thank you for the privilege that you have given to us,
yes,
to be in thy house and to hear something from thee, Father.
Amen.
Father, we are needy people. Oh, Father, our life testify, our presence in this place. testify that we are needy people, Father. If it wasn't because of that, we will have stay in our own house, Father. And we come here, Father, because we want you to speak to us, Father. We want you to minister to our need, Father. That you say something that is going to lift up our faith, that we shall be able, Father, to walk according to thy will, Father. The desire of each of us, heart, Father, is to walk according to thy will, Father. Is to manifest thy love, Father. Amen. Oh, Father, to see thy promise being fulfilled in each of us' life, Father. Because you have a portion that you have given to each of us, Father. And we know, oh, Father, you the one who call us. You are able to bring us at the end of the journey, Father. Yes. That we shall be able to reach the adoption of the children of God, Father. That we shall be able to speak like thee, Father. And to read like thee, Father. Oh, Father, to walk like thee and manifest thy power, Father. Because the scripture says the world is groaning, the creation, all the creation are groaning to see the manifestation of the children of God, Father. And you have called us, Father, to be thy bride, Father, that you can manifest yourself, Father, as the moon, oh, Father, manifest, oh, Father, the light of the sun when the absence of the sun, Father, you call us to manifest, oh, Father, thy life in thy absence, Father. Father, the world is looking to see genuine Christian, Father, people who can live, oh, Father, according to what they profess, Father. Father, lest us to be that kind of the people, Father, not just the hearer of thy word, but the doer of thy word, Father. Father, bless us all, Father. Bless the pastor, Father, the time that he has taken, oh, Father, to study thy word and come to deliver thy word, Father. And Father, we want you, Father, to manifest yourself, because the scripture says your word is that the rain that come in due season and will not return void without accomplishing the purpose by which you send it, Father. And we know you send thy word, Father, that you know there's need in the life of thy people, Father. There's a deep calling to the deep, Father. If you have to send it, Father, because you know somehow we need it, Father. That's why we ask you, Father, we humble ourselves before thee, Father, that you shall manifest all your purpose of sending thy word, Father. Father, we commit the rest of the week at thy hand, Father. Father, we know that without thee we can't do anything, Father. That's why we want you, that you shall go ahead of us, Father, for the coming week, Father. That you shall be there, Father, and watch over our life, Father, in college, at work, in different activities, at home, Father. That you continually minister to our need, Father. Bless this place, Father, that we have consecrated as a meeting place with thee, Father. Amen. Let all your spirit will take control of this place, Father. That each time when you come, you minister something to us, Father. Because we don't come here to see with one another, Father. Amen. But we come to meet with thee, Father. Yes. Father, the worst thing to come and we meet with one another and not meeting with thee. But your word tell us that you are faithful to thy appointment, Father. You say where two or three are gathered in thy name, you shall be in their midst, Father. Father, we come this afternoon with our prayer request, Father, unspoken one and a spoken one, Father, because you know all them, Father. Before even we present ourselves before thee, you know the need and you know even the number of the hair of each of us head, Father. What about our small things, Father, our small requests, Father, and we believe that there's a gift in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and you says that everything that you shall ask in my name, it shall be given unto thee, Father. Father, we ask you, Father, that you will be done inside of our life, Father. Father, we ask you that you shall grant the healing, Father. Amen. That you shall manifest yourself as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals all our diseases, Father. Amen. Father, you know, oh Father, you can touch where our hand can't touch, Father. Amen. Father, our hands are short, Father, but yours are not short, Father. Amen. You can touch everywhere, Father, every need, Father, every sickness, Father. Amen. And we believe that you says that you shall be able to pray for the sick, and the sick will recover, Father. And we believe this morning, Father, that something good will happen, Father. That you will heal someone there, Father. That you will touch the need of thy people. You will minister for thy people, Father. And we thank you for all the text given that was given in this place, Father. And we testify, we know, as the scripture say, that they overcome him by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Your blood blood has overcome everything. And we just claim, Father, the victory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. Bless us as we go our different place, Father. Go with us, Father. And when we return here on Wednesday, Father, that you shall be with us, Father. And we shall be able to glorify thy name, Father. Bless our brethren who are not here, those who traveled, Father. Be with them. Grant them many mercies, Father. And be with us in everything that we're going to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Let's say one. As we dismiss, by George, if you have one, right?
Shall